Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nick, it's a pleasure to have you. I don't believe we've ever spoken before. You're a recent graduate of Slippery Rock. Am I right about that?
No.
You can listen to this show, The Pomp and Joe Show, on demand, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can hear clips like that. Joe Starkey attending to some family matters up in Buffalo. Bob Pompeiani, I think he's on his way back, or he is back from Dublin. He's supposed to host the show tomorrow and Thursday. I guess we could put a TBD next to that. And then I will be back in for a football Friday. And we are joined, as you heard with that clip, by Nick Farabaugh, Steelers reporter from PennLive.com. Nick, it's my understanding you're a recent grad of Slippery Rock. Is that right?
what a wonderful reference.
What made him, I asked Austin this, Austin Bechtold is behind the glass, the man we call City Limits. What made Joe think that Nick went to Slippery?
Well, and that's the thing. I told him, Joe was like, okay, what's some additional information? This is the first time we were having Nick on. And I said, Nick went to Pitt. We covered the NCAA tournament together for a year. And he went to Pitt. And for some reason, he immediately thought Slippery Rock. And I drew a blank.
Nick, you just got back from Dublin, though, yesterday, I believe. It looked like the whole experience was awesome. So before we get into the game, it seems like guys like myself and Austin really missed out on a fun time.
It was awesome, man. Ireland's a really cool city. Ireland's a really cool country. Dublin's a really cool city. It's really fun. The Guinness is different over there, I will say. That is true. I heard that many times before. Whenever it's very true. Beautiful scenery, great people, good atmosphere. It felt like an NFL Sunday, like it did when you got down there on Sunday. It felt like a legitimate game that would be happening anywhere in another city. So it was a really cool experience to cover an international game, the festivities about it, how kind of a city and a country, really, in Ireland's case, kind of came together. Like, for example, on Saturday, I went across Ireland to Galway on the west coast, which is about 2.5-3 hours away. And even there, they were, you know, they had signs up and they had different things that they were celebrating, and there were events happening in every city and town. It was really cool to see that. So it was really fun to actually immerse yourself kind of in that experience. So yeah, very cool country, very cool city, and very cool experience considering the first NFL game in Dublin.
It also seems like the team and the commissioner would like to see them go back and play at Croke Park. Is that something we should anticipate down the line?
Yeah, that's going to happen. I mean, let's be real, Donnie. You know, Goodell also said on Saturday that the idea is once 18 games come, every single team is going to play an international game every year. And so what's really probably going to end up happening is the Steelers right now have four areas where their international marketing rights are: Ireland and Northern Ireland, Germany, and Mexico. What's probably going to end up happening is they're probably going to end up rotating between those three. I mean, I think that's reasonable to expect. Now, maybe in different areas of the country, in some of those cases, like Croke Park, obviously, for Dublin makes sense, but there are other stadiums around Ireland that you could maybe play in if you really wanted to. Certainly Germany's bigger country, Mexico, big country. You can try and fit things in there, but that's probably what's going to happen, right? Like the home game years, the Steelers will alternate between Ireland, Mexico, Germany, and then who knows where they would go on a road game year, but they'll be back in Ireland at some point. And it may be sooner than you think, not, you know, in the next like 4 or 5 years, but would not surprise me if it's, you know, in the 2030s at some point they're back there.
Yeah, I mean, and I know that they were a dozen years between playing a game on international soil this time around. It was 2013 the last time that they did that. I do not expect it to go another dozen for a team and a brand like the Pittsburgh Steelers. I wouldn't be stunned if, I don't know, like by, you know, I'm thinking they're going to play another international game by 2030. Hell, they may even play two.
They're going to play one by 2028. I would bet on that. And that's because Mexico really wants the Steelers. And I think that's, the Mexico game has not been able to happen because the Estadio Azteca is getting renovations for the World Cup next year. But next year, that game is going to be back on the schedule. And the Steelers, either in 2027 or maybe in 2028, they have a really fun kind of gauntlet in 28, Donnie. They face the Cowboys and the Dolphins that year. Both those teams pretty popular in Mexico and both have marketing rights there too. I think about those matchups really appealing to the NFL.
I think if Estadio Azteca had been available, I think the Steelers probably would have gone to Mexico first. So I think they're going to be in Mexico soon enough. And then you don't even know on a road game, right? I mean, next year they play the Jags. Who knows? Maybe they're in London next year. Like, it's completely kind of random sometimes on the road game side of things, but they're going to be international probably sometime within the next 3 years. I would guarantee that.
You can hit us up on the fan text line at 412-928-9370. That's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Now, Nick, when it came down to the game, that was the most complete performance we have seen from the Steelers all season. And I don't think the last couple of minutes, although it could have really spoiled how the game went, I don't think the last few minutes of that game spoiled what was a really good 55 minutes by everybody involved. Did it seem like, given the ownership's connection to the country, that there was a little bit more, you know, at stake for the Steelers in this game? Like, it meant a little bit more than any other regular season game, because that is how they came out and played.
Certainly. 100%. And, you know, I talk with players after the game about that, and Mike Tomlin apparently got teary-eyed in the meeting room on Saturday just talking about Dan Rooney. And that fired the guys up, and it seems like they came out with some juice. But I think the environment, Donnie, it's kind of hard to describe the environment if you weren't there, but it was genuinely electric. It felt like a college game in some respects more than it did an NFL game. It was really fun. And so I think that was part of it too. But I think they came out with some energy here. Obviously Art Rooney gave them a speech on Wednesday just talking about the significance of this for their family and the connections that they have to Ireland and all of this. And I do think that really actually kind of came about through the energy the players played with. But this was the best game of football they played in a long time. I mean, I can't think of a game where they drubbed them for about 55 minutes in the way they did, Donnie. You know, this felt like, you know, the first two games against the Jets and the Patriots, it felt like games the Steelers should have lost that they won. It was like the typical past two or three seasons. This felt like a game that they should have not even been close in. They should have won this game by two or three scores running away. They completely dominated both lines. They dominated the turnover battle. They dominated really the schematics for most of this game too. They outcoached them, they outplayed them, they out-hustled them, they did out-everything them. This was a domination up until the last 5 minutes of this football game.
You brought up the coaching there, Nick, so I wanted to go there next. That was a big discussion on the show yesterday afternoon when Chris said he did not think it was a good game for Mike Tomlin because of what happened in the final few moments. Pony and I disagreed. Pony and I thought, you know, going in, it felt like everybody said that the Vikings would have the coaching advantage. Kevin O'Connell is an offensive guru. Brian Flores is a defensive mastermind. The Steelers let this guy out of their facility. And to the credit of Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith, I thought those guys went out there and, you know, they weren't the guys in the game dominating, but I thought from the coaching aspect, they dominated for 55 minutes.
They really did. Offensively, I mean, they completely punked Flores for most of this game. He gave them space to work with in their quick game, and the Steelers said, we'll take it, and really just spread them out and worked quick game. Now, granted, I don't think the rushing part of that was as much coaching. I just think the offensive line finally kind of clicked together, and that helped them become a lot more efficient. But they really punked them in the passing game. Getting DK Metcalf free, working kind of those in routes that allowed him to get significant yak. That was a big part of that. And then they match up on it around the rest of the passing game. And so it was a really smart game plan by the offense. Defensively, you know, I thought Kevin O'Connell actually called a pretty good game. There were a lot of different options that Wentz had. But the Steelers did a great job of showing different blitzes, different looks on the back end, mixing things up, that when even guys were running open, Wentz didn't see him. And oftentimes in the NFL, Donnie, that's just kind of what happens, right? Is maybe there is a play to be made, but you fool them with schematics, you get home and you get sacks. And they communicated much better until the last 5 minutes when they lost Ramsey and Eccles was in and out and Slay was in and out. And then the one kind of bust they had on the Addison play, I mean, they tried to finally run kind of a funky coverage with the new personnel. It was Clark and Slay there. You kind of trusted them because they had been playing all game, and they bust the communication. I don't think this was a badly coached game at all. I think you can argue the management of the game on Tomlin's side, right? Should he have gone for it on fourth down? Certainly. But in terms of the coaching of this game, I thought he did a very good job.
Fan Hotline, that's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That is where we find our guy Nick Farabaugh from PennLive.com, who joins us for the full 11 o'clock hour here. It does feel like the defense is starting to turn a bit of a corner, Nick. They weren't, I wouldn't say they were great against the Patriots. It was a lot of the vintage bend don't break in that game. They forced a lot of turnovers. They forced a couple of more on Sunday, but they overall looked better on defense too. Like, guys were just flying around and it felt like we were watching an improved unit.
It did. I mean, they get the best games of the year from guys like Peyton Wilson. I thought Keanu Benton had a wonderful game. Watt, Herbig, these guys were playing really well. Deshaun Elliott clearly means so much to this defense. It's not even funny. It was just a really good all-around game. I'm not sure there's a guy on the defense. Well, Chuck Clark, I don't think, played that well. But outside of him, is there really a guy you can point to that didn't play well? I think it's hard to find somebody. You know, those guys really played well. They hustled. Wilson was finally kept free, and I thought that really allowed him to kind of come downhill. The guy that I think has really come along in the last two games is Patrick Queen. I think he's played so well the past 2 weeks, just being an attacking downhill linebacker. In the run game, he's been great. He was a little bit up and down in coverage against the Patriots. I thought this week he was much better there. I just think that they are kind of molding together into a unit now. And so that's going to be, I think, kind of fun to see. I still think they need to figure out the defensive line and safety kind of rotation reps a little bit more. I'd like to see more Jabril Peppers. I'd still like to see more Dan Ekwuale. But I think that they have kind of a mix here where it's working, and the communication is improving, and the run fits are improving. And so the more schematics are being kind of rolled out, we're starting to see tricky things happen. And so this defense is playing better, and they're starting to kind of get deeper into their schematic tricks, which is making them look like a good defense, because I think they are a good defense as long as those things work.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It really felt like there was a strong correlation between Keanu Benton playing possibly his best game as a Steeler when he needed to do so most, and Patrick Queen and Peyton Wilson also both looking great at off-ball linebacker.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, Benton was absolutely a game wrecker. I don't think he's played a better game in the NFL. He finished on a lot of plays that he maybe usually doesn't. I think some of that is impressive. And when you look at what he did in the running game, he was just really good. Granted, you know, I do think there was a lot of easier matchups this week for Benton, right? Starting left guard is out, center leaves in the middle of the game, and he just feasted on backups. But you're supposed to feast on backups. And I think that was a great confidence-boosting game for him. And I do think Derek Harmon's arrival has helped this a little bit as well. You know, they have kind of used Benton around the formation more, so Harmon has kind of cracked inside a few times against the run. And the Steelers have felt just more comfortable with Harmon in there to send blitzes against the run and try and allow Queen and Wilson to kind of knife in and make plays and keep them clean. So that has really been – there's a few reasons why, but this has been a really strong few weeks for this defense. The run defense looks much improved and feels like Derek Harmon's arrival has also kind of opened up some things for them as a front, and he's been really good through 2 weeks. So much improved front, I think, since week two against the Seahawks where they really got dominated.
And you know we've had this talk. I mean, I said the one of the things about the Steelers trading Minka Fitzpatrick back to Miami is that would it allow Deshaun Elliott to still have the freedom that he had last year when he was able to impact games in so many ways. And he had a full stat sheet on Sunday, and you could just tell that he made such a big impact in that game. The guy just does a little bit of everything, which is why he is such a fun player to watch. Maybe he's not the best player, maybe he's not the most talented player, but he is, to me, one of the most fun players on that defense to watch.
He's also their communication hub. I think that was a big loss for them in week one when he got hurt. They kind of lost their center of communication. When Minka left, he kind of took that role over. And so they kind of had to find somebody in the interim. That was Jabril. I think, you know, with him, he's even played a little bit of post safety. Like, he did play in the post a little bit against the Vikings, which I didn't really expect. Clark came down into the box a few times. Thornhill played a little more this week than Clark did. But Clark was actually in the box a fair amount of time. So Elliott's now showing he can play a little bit of free safety, which I think is a little bit of a game changer for what they want to do and the mix-ups they want to do when he's in the box. He is somebody that could take away tight ends. He's a great run defender. He's one of the best open field tacklers in football, in my opinion. I think one of the forgotten plays of the game, actually, Donnie, is it was the 4th-and-1. They come out. It's the fullback dive to Jordan Mason. He gets about 7 yards. If Elliott doesn't make that tackle, there's one guy that is blocked. And Mason, if that guy doesn't get off the block, I believe it was Darius Slay, Mason has a touchdown probably down the field. A great open field tackle. But he's just such a leader for this unit. He's a communication hub. He's kind of an energy bringer. He does so many things for this team. He basically acts like a third linebacker at times, too. So he can do so much for you. And his importance to this defense is through the roof.
1126, which is brought to you by Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty, talking to Nick Faribault from PennLive.com. Another great game from Nick Herbig. This guy is just a maniac, Nick, especially in pass rush situations. I mean, you want to talk about the definition of playing with your hair on fire and your ears pinned back. It's this dude when he knows he can get after a quarterback on a 3rd-and-long. Is Alex Highsmith at risk when he comes back from injury at starting to see more of a split role with just how good Herbig is?
I mean, probably. Herb needs to play way more when Highsmith's back. Now, is that because you take Highsmith off the field? Is that because you play three outside linebackers? You know, do you do that? I think that's a fun package they have not rolled out yet. They played like two snaps of it against the Seahawks, and I think they got a pressure and a sack on those two snaps. So I'm fascinated to see that package. I think that's going to be a thing. But Herb has kind of taken this role and has just run with it, Donnie. I mean, he has been a star. In terms of pure pass rush ability, I don't think there's a better player on the team. I really don't. He is so explosive. He's got such a deep bag. He was beating Christian Darrisaw pretty regularly. And we're not talking about a scrub here. Christian Darrisaw is a top five left tackle in football. It doesn't matter who you put in front of him. It feels like Herbig always produces. And he's a much better run defender than people give him credit for. I hate hearing this. You know, he's not a good run defender. He's not a good run defender. He's not an elite run defender, but watch the tape. He sets the edge multiple times. He knifes upfield and makes plays and frees up other guys. This guy's a pretty solid run defender, too. And so I do think Highsmith is probably going to be at a little more of a reduced role. I also think you can cut Watt's snaps down a little bit. He's playing like 90% of the snaps right now, and I understand he's TJ Watt, but he doesn't need to be running to the ground necessarily either. And then I think you can play all three of them on the field. So Herbig needs to be featured at a very, very high clip when Highsmith returns. But I see a lot of people clamoring to trade Highsmith. I think it's just better to have three really darn good edge rushers. And you're not paying a quarterback, so you can do it. I think that's a privilege you can have.
Do you wish that they would show that defense with the three main edge rushers in it more often, or does it take away from too much elsewhere?
No, I think it's a great idea. They got to kind of figure out which guys can rush where. I think it allows TJ to maybe stay on his comfortable side a little more and not be hurt for it. Because if you have to worry about Herbig or Highsmith, maybe over the A or the B gap, that's a weapon to utilize. I think it allows them to do a lot of different things up front. And the really cool thing is Herbig is so good in space. Remember he came out of Wisconsin and there was talk, maybe he's an off-ball linebacker. You remember that?
Yes.
And I think the Steelers have kind of found out that while he's a very good edge rusher, he also moves extremely well in space. So you can drop into coverage and be like, okay, we got something here. Highsmith also moves pretty well in coverage and in space for what it's worth. So there's a lot of different things you can do there. So I think they will roll that out more. As long as everyone stays healthy, I think the issue is, Donnie, when these guys have been together, it's been maybe for one game and then someone gets hurt. We just haven't seen it very often with all three of them healthy.
Where does the Peyton Wilson hustle play rank for you in terms of like hustle plays by Steelers or really the NFL in general that you can remember?
I mean, by Steelers, man, it's up there. It might be the best hustle play I've seen in a while.
I thought of one other one, Nick, from 2017 when Vance McDonald ran down whoever blocked the kick for the Bears in Chicago. That was the only other one that came to my mind.
That's a great call. I still think the greatest hustle play I've ever seen is in the 90s. And it's when Larry Allen, I can't remember who he ran down, but he ran down, I think, a corner. And it was just insane because you're like, how does that guy move that big? DK's play to run down Buda Baker is still up there in terms of unbelievable plays you can't believe. But, man, this is up there with them. The fact that he caught Addison is still probably one of the craziest things. And it truly did affect the game. I mean, they ended up stopping them on three straight plays and burnt over a minute of clock because of that stop. So, yeah, it probably is up there. The Vance McDonald play is definitely up there too. But I think this one was more impressive just from a pure speed, angle, pursuit, effort type of play. And it's all over Peyton Wilson's tape. It's not a one-off. This wasn't a one-off thing. He did it a lot at NC State too.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the chase down clip of Larry Allen. I want to say, I might be wrong. I wanted to say it was Sam Mills, who was like a Hall of Fame linebacker, but it was an inside linebacker who had everything going his way. You know, he caught he intercepted the pass with some momentum. Larry Allen's flat footed and he runs the guy down. That's one of my favorite clips too, because Dan Dierdorf is the color analyst. on that Monday Night Football game, and he has zero care in the world that Troy Aikman just got picked off and it got returned inside the red zone. He just goes crazy for Larry Allen. That's why it's one of my all-time favorites, Nick. That's a good pull.
It's one of my favorite clips. Larry Allen, it was unbelievable. It's just, you don't see big guys do that very often, be able to hawk people down like that. So it's one of my favorite hustle plays I've ever seen. But I think the Peyton Wilson one, man, is just so impressive because in a similar vein to Larry Allen, Larry Allen's obviously much bigger than Peyton Wilson, but Peyton Wilson shouldn't be able to run that fast. He should not be able to go as fast as he can. And Peyton's got insane athleticism, and so you see it right there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.